Let's jump right in. My name is Brian McKee, and I am the lead pastor of City of Light Church, a new multi-ethnic church in the Wauwatosa / Milwaukee area. And we have services every Sunday at the AMC Theater in the mall there, in Mayfair Mall. So pretty cool digs. Yep. Quick personal introduction. I have been in ministry in some shape, form, or fashion over the last 20 years. So from student pastor, college ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ, and local missions as well, too. Then my wife and I also helped to lead before launching out to City of Light Church, lead a small campus church in the city of Milwaukee. Right around 2014 is when I got the call to launch out. A lot of things were taking place in the nation at that time. It's related to a lot of division, a lot of different people groups not getting along. And my wife and I prayed and said, how can we help? How can we help be a difference? And that was really what sparked the heart behind City of Light Church. So we launched in September of last year, just over 500 individuals in the mall there. And God has been doing some great things since that time. So Milwaukee, Greater Milwaukee, one of the most segregated areas in the United States. Jesus cares about that, you know, and when you look through scripture, you see all over the place how unity is something that God wants to take place. And as a church, we said, how can we be about our Father's business and take care of that? So today we're going to dive into the topic of not only multi-ethnic leadership, but what does it look like to build relationships across ethnicities that last, that have substance to them. So they're not just high-level kind of surface relationships, but really ones that we can then leverage to lead other people to Christ and grow in our relationship with Christ as well, too. So we're going to talk about some of the why, the what, and definitely the how towards the end. So first thing, I want to ask you all, and feel free to, you know, if you have questions throughout this time, to, you know, just raise your hand and let's engage for sure. But when you hear the word ethnicity, so we're going to take a look at two words, ethnicity and culture. What is your feeling, or what do you hear, or what's your definition of ethnicity when you hear that word? So racial background, okay.
Countries of origin, maybe you know, like grandparents even, you know, where they came from.
That's good, good.
Donald Trump hates it.
Okay, some would say Donald Trump hates it, okay. Now what about culture? Okay, that's good. And you were going to say?
Yeah, I would say it would be something that groups of people, there could be different cultures within a similar ethnicity group. Mm. Because it kind of is more local.
Yeah.
And how you, with norms and how you act and react to things.
That's good. No, that was good. So, ethnicity definition, and I heard like country of origin. So racial, ancestral kind of background, although culture and religion is kind of mixed in there too. If you're looking at kind of levels, you'll have ethnicity at the top, but then culture is kind of under that because just as someone mentioned, it's how you actually act or live out certain values or belief systems would be your culture. Good deal. This is a funny story. I come from not only a ministry background, but over the last 15 years, I've also been in the information technology and cybersecurity industry too. So corporate America, I've experienced a lot of good and disheartening personal stories with culture and ethnicity too. But there was one particular one that was kind of funny where there was a guy and he was white, but he said that he was African American. So he was you know, saying it being funny, but it was true. He was African American because he was actually born in South Africa, but he migrated to the United States. And so I use that story sometimes to explain the difference between ethnicity and culture sometimes, right? So you have someone whose origin, ancestral origin, was from somewhere else when you trace back to his ancestors, but he had a tradition and a local culture of a South African environment. So that was actually kind of funny the first time he said that. But so why are multi-ethnic relationships important? Now, I'll ask that now before we dive deeper. Why are having relationships with people of different ethnicity important?
Probably for understanding more of humanity and just, I mean, the different things and challenges that different people have to endure in life besides your own small world.
It's good. It's good. Anybody else?
It's to expand your knowledge, to understand how other cultures and other people are, why they are the way they are.
Yeah. It's good. Anybody else?
It's virtually impossible not to encounter other cultures. You can't isolate yourself from other cultures completely.
Yeah, I would definitely say not completely. But there are situations, and I was talking to a guy from Los Angeles, and he was just explaining how there were some people in his neighborhood that really never left their neighborhoods, and how tragic sometimes that is, because they've never experienced anything outside of their small world, other than what's on, you know, television, which. No, it's a toss-up. You can see anything, and And sadly, though, sometimes I think even with our area being so segregated, when you have pockets of individuals that they may experience other cultures or other ethnicities when they go to work, but sometimes that's really not a real depth of understanding. Right? And then there's certain sides of town that you just know that you don't go to, or the ones that you do go to, or you stay in a certain radius of a certain area, and you don't experience anything outside of that. Well, what I want us to look deeper into is the biblical side, too, of why it's important, right? Matthew 28:19, which some of us may be familiar with as a component of the Great Commission. It's Jesus speaking to his followers, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So nations is bolded intentionally, because when you peel back from English going into to Greek, nations is ethnos, where we get the word ethnicity. So when you look at the heart of what Jesus was calling other believers to do, when you take a deeper dive and you see he's speaking of ethnos, or all ethnicities, you realize that this whole gospel thrust has a multi-ethnic heart behind it. And then it's picked up by the Apostle Paul. And 1 Corinthians, he's speaking to the church at Corinth, very diverse church. There were many challenges for the church first few centuries and beyond, but specifically it started out as a very diverse church. And some of the scriptures we'll take a look at in a moment here will also speak to that fact. But here's what Paul said. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Here's what he says. So we talked about the what in the Great Commission. But now we're going to look at more of the how, right? To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So he's speaking of the Mosaic law at that time. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So a particular piece of this scripture here when he says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. What does that mean, becoming all things to all people? What is Paul saying there?
He's becoming immersed in what they're doing. He's showing the people that he's willing to understand their point of view. They're coming from.
It's good. Anybody else? All things to all people.
But he's staying true to an understanding the biblical principle or the gospel behind it. Like as he says, although I am not under the law, I understand the law so that I can relate to those individuals. But yet I hold my core beliefs of Christ. And we'll give that. Is that?
Yeah, that's. So in order for him, because by all possible means, I might save some. So Paul is, his goal is for more people to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And no doubt for him to continue to grow, because he says he'll be able to share in the blessings of the gospel too. In order to do that, you have to understand something about people that are different than yourself. And that doesn't happen by accident. That happens with an intentionality of getting to know people that are different than yourself, so that at some point where relationship takes place, where there's a depth of trust that comes into play, then you can share the gospel with them and continue to help them grow with Christ. So he picks it up. So this is the how. What are some ways that we can do this in a practical way?
as you move into that, you know, I just have this nagging feeling that that comment, you can't be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even asking a question. I'm just saying, as we transition to how you do it, that's what I'm asking. Is, okay, how, you asked it first. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Paul, and to put his statement in context, he can be all things to all of the people that God has placed him around. Right? So not all people necessarily, the whole globe kind of thing, but the sphere of influence that he has, he's saying, I'm working this to make sure that I have an understanding of my environment. Yeah,
I was just thinking off that too, do we have to be all things to all people, but is he all things that Christ is calling to be the tool so that he can witness to him? So obviously thinking, well, we are one part of the church. I cannot be all the pieces, but right here, God is calling me to witness, maybe be something out of my comfort zone, and really just emphasize, here's the piece that God wants me to be to these people, and maybe it's here it's this and here it's that, but then we, I think it's really cool because then you see how rooted in Christ we are, and it's mm-hmm. not about like the layers of me, but more of the layers of Christ in me that he brings out and says, you need to use your gift here, and then maybe it's a different gift you have to use here. So I think when we think all things to all people, I might, maybe we take it in our generation to be like, oh yeah, we have to be the encourager, we have to be the, we have to be the, we have to be the, but what is Christ calling for us to be?
Right. In the areas that he's given you responsibility for. Like even, I think when Jesus said, Father, for, you know, the people that you've given me, I've lost none. You know, and that's, should even be our heart. For the people that I am in connection with, that are God-ordained connections, I haven't lost any. I've done my very best to allow Christ to shine through me and help those individuals. Yeah. And so I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Another scripture as we're building this case for why multi-ethnic relationships are important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's speaking to the church at Corinth again in this letter. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So a couple of things here. One, he's saying that Christ is the ultimate example. And what he's doing, he's following Christ's example. In that, he's not seeking his own good, but the good of others. So what that says about these multi-ethnic relationships is, I'm going to have to come out of my comfort zone in order to understand someone else enough to help to win them to Christ. So there are, when you look at relationships, and we'll get into this just in a few moments, when you look at culture, even as Paul, for, you know, the Jew, I knew how to relate. For the Gentile, I knew how to relate. For, you know, the weak, I knew how to relate. For all of these different types of individuals or people groups, I knew how to relate. There's a surface level of relating, and then there's a deeper level of relating. But many times in relationships, you start at the surface, and you go deeper. For us as City of Light Church, one of the things that we've done And being a multi-ethnic church and our mission to help all people reach their God-given potential was we looked at this thing that's that I'll show you guys called the cultural iceberg model, right? Where you have things that are above the water, you know, very easily seen, touched, and experienced, but then you have the deeper stuff. So what we did was we said, okay, we're in an area, one of the most segregated in the United States. How can we begin to take people on a journey with us that in the hopes eventually we'll connect them to Christ and even deal with some of the real practical issues that are taking place in Greater Milwaukee? Let's start with some family events that intentionally bring people from all different sides of the Greater Milwaukee area together. So we've done things like hosting skate nights at the Pettit Ice Center, where we would, you know, cater food and then have movies for the kids. And then we would have our team, which again, we intentionally reached out north, south, east, and west together, shared the vision and brought together, that they would begin to invite their families and their friends and utilize social media, my IT and cybersecurity background and web design and development side and all of that, being able to utilize that to reach out to other people groups as well. You started finding that families that wouldn't normally come together and start talking and sharing life together, that they started to do this. And we may have started with the top level of culture, but we were setting the stage to go deeper. So this February, February 25th, we'll be having a watching a documentary that talks about the 13th Amendment, which connects to this whole idea of mass incarceration. The 13th Amendment that basically says you have these rights, but if you're a criminal, we take these rights from you, and how that particular amendment was used directly after slavery all the way through the decades leading to present time, and how that has helped to cause some challenges and issues in the United States right now. So that's a little bit deeper than a Pettit ice skating night, right? Yeah. But we've built trust and built an environment of safe dialogue first. And now this year is where we're using the strategy to get a little bit deeper in the iceberg. Have those times of talks and prayer and coming together that will eventually move into momentum where change is taking place.
When are you showing that video?
February 25th, okay. And it's in the Mayfair Mall. It's Mayfair East Garden Suites. They have like suites and conference areas where you can have people come in. So February 25th, we're doing that. Right now, there are at least five. So, and very well dispersed, as a matter of fact. So, for white slash European, black, Indian, Latino, and Asian. Now, as a matter of fact, the Asian population is the fastest growing in our church right now. So it was funny to me originally when we would talk to people and they said, oh, you're doing a multi-ethnic church in Greater Milwaukee area, huh? Kind of like it's not going to happen. But then when they would visit and they would see the diversity, they're like, okay, like I didn't think, but I see now, and I see what God is doing. So it's been an amazing ride. I mean, from just so many families that you had the opportunity to learn from, and the cultural aspects of the families that you had the opportunity to learn from. It's, to me, it's a picture of heaven. Like it's good. It's really good.
Is the Asian component, are they longtime Christians or recent Christians?
It's a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so even generationally, we're diverse. So you'll have some of the older population coming from the Asian background that have been longtime Christians. But then a lot of the younger, even college age, you know, fresh or have not even accepted Christ yet.
Yeah, I don't want to throw you too off your schedule, but are there is there controversy within their own community then between the older generations and maybe younger generations and different religious views?
Good question. So I know there has been controversy between the older and the younger in the Christian realm of things, mm-hmm. where in some of the, for instance, some of the Asian churches in the greater Milwaukee area, where you're starting to see a dropping off, where younger Asian kids aren't coming to church. And there was, you know, kind of a forced thing that was taking place when they were younger, and then they've gotten to college age and they've rebelled, kind of thing. So you're definitely seeing that. But what we've seen is that for whatever reason, and I believe that this is, you know, this is definitely God, nothing that we've done so great, it's attractional to a lot of the younger crowd too. Yeah. Good questions. So, not seeking our own good, but the good of others. It's going to be key when we look at the more of the how, right? Another reason for multi-ethnic relationships, changing demographics. You know, we've, over the last few weeks, have heard a lot of news and experienced much talk, I'm sure, about, you know, even some of the executive orders that have, you know, come down and all that kind of thing. But the reality of this is that by 2055, it's been projected that the U.S. will have no single racial or ethnic majority, right? In 1965, 5% of the U.S. population was foreign-born. Right now, we're at 14, and it's continuing to grow. And a lot of this projected growth is from Asian and Hispanic immigration. So when you look at our call as believers, because we know that Jesus is the answer, in order for us to get that answer to individuals that aren't like us, we have to understand those individuals at some level, because we have to be able to relate. And again, this goes back to Paul's point. Like, I had to relate with these different people groups in order for them to eventually hear what I have to say. Because there are, you know, major trust issues that come into play too when you look at the United States history and then just people groups for coming over from, you know, international spots from whatever they're fleeing. You know, there are major trust issues. You know, you're coming to a new country, but who can I trust? You know, who can I not trust? So what are we going to do as individuals that know God to help prepare an environment as much as possible so that we can win people to the Lord and see their lives change? Because it doesn't just stop at winning the people to the Lord. Yeah. Here's another important point. There's no one right culture, right? And what do I mean by that? There's no one right culture. There was an individual in the first workshop who said this. He said, you know, people all over the world for thousands of years have been operating according to their culture and have been successful in doing what in living life, right? So it will be important for us to understand that just because, you know, I season my food with paprika and you season yours with oregano, that mine isn't necessarily right, right? But at the same time, and I'll point this out, there are aspects of biblical truth that have to stand no matter what culture you're a part of. But there are, you know, pieces of culture that are redeemable and then others that, you know, go against God, right? But knowing the difference comes with having that relationship and an understanding, coming out of the box of, you know, what we think as normal is and understanding someone else. I spoke about our Asian population a little bit ago, and some of the families, after they've come over, their history and their culture was heavily mixed with shamanism. So that was one of the aspects, and as, you know, having conversations with families and understanding, like I'm hearing, you know, stories of, you know, some of their younger ones dealing with, you know, even, you know, demonic issues and different things like that because of, you know, things that their grandparents and great-grandparents have been doing, you know, from their country of origin. And, you know, now as believers, you know, them having to combat that stuff by the power of God. So you get an opportunity to get really close up and understand, like, okay, this culture may be dealing with some things that I may not be dealing with, but how can I, again, as Paul said, begin to understand so then I can help, right? So, and that's one of the things, one of the examples of, you know, that's not redeemable. You know, that's something that, you know, we come against as Christians and as believers. But for all of those other components, that means that we still have to get engaged and understand those components that are redeemable so that we can build relationships.
Can I? Mm-hmm. I don't think I understand the context of the word redeemable.
Okay. So when I say redeemable, So sometimes Christians approach certain things that aren't in the Bible as this isn't the Christian way, right?
Got it?
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There
are biblical truths.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Said to be, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things, you know, if you go to, if you take a look at various ethnicities, they have their own cultural beliefs and cultural things that they do,
mm-hmm.
which may not jive with their own religious beliefs. So what the fundamental issue that I have with that statement is,
mm-hmm.
is there one culture that is right for the U.S.? At the very basic, at the very basic level, there are certain cultural beliefs that this country has. But those kind of, I think those cultural beliefs are being eroded by the secular ideology that we have been soaking up for the past few generations.
Mm.
Now our kids have become so confused, they don't know what to even embrace. So when there's that cultural vacuum that happens, the other influences come in. And I think that sometimes, if they are not in the right mind, those are the influences that kind of sometimes radicalize them.
Hmm.
Because not knowing right from wrong. So that is the danger that our society is in. That's my feeling.
Hmm.
I don't know if others agree with that or not.
You almost took the words out of my mouth.
Because that is the issue.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In the interest of, you know, and then maybe you can help us with kind of the direction, but
mm-hmm.
In the interest of cultural diversity and maintaining, you know, tolerance, and you've got a country that supposedly is built on freedom of religion,
mm-hmm.
but there's this secular movement that's trying to tell us that there can be no religion in certain segments, and there's this constant pounding of the only way to be accepting of other cultures is to not talk about religion. So as Christians, how do we work through this cultural diversity thing as Christians, yet I feel the need to speak up and not allow our country become just totally secular in the process with no God? I don't think that's the way we want to go.
See,
I agree.
Also, it is correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israelites, when they left Egypt, you know, God gave them all these directions, laws. You know, Deuteronomy talks about it, Exodus talks about it. You know, you shall not do this, you shall not do that. Finally, he said, "Well, make sure that you are pure. Make sure you don't mingle with the others." But yet, what happened when they went out and settled in the Promised Land? They were making themselves merry. They were giving their daughters in marriage to the sons of the people that were there,
mm-hmm.
and
building
alliances. They were living a happy life. In the process, what happened? They forgot about the grace of God that was upon them.
Yeah.
And eventually what happened? They were massacred and they were
mm-hmm.
driven all over the place.
Yeah. And so I think where we're saying the same thing is that there are components and pieces of culture that are non-issue.
Yeah. That's
but the components and foundational truths of the gospel are things that you don't move on. And so, it's important to know the difference, right? Because I mean, we'll be looking at Galatians here in a moment, chapter 2, where you have a situation where Peter was, you know, he was eating with Gentiles, right? And there were different dietary laws that he was, if you're going just according to Old Testament, he was breaking, right? But you find that in his context in Galatians chapter 2, that under grace, it was all right for him to eat some pork chops, right? But he was instead reprimanded, or he got into a disagreement with Paul because he actually got up from the table of the Gentiles, left, and came over to the Jews, right? So there are components that, as it relates to culture, that are non-issues. But when it comes to the foundational truth of the gospel, then, we stand on that. But I think sometimes we have to be careful that we don't take those non-issue items and not address them and make an excuse that, you know, we're Christians, so all of it is something wrong with it. And then by doing that, we lose our witness and opportunity to win people to Jesus because of that. Yep.
Yeah, Brian, I love what you said a minute ago. It's just identifying those correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the places that we're restricted as Christians and we can't enter into certain things?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the areas of freedom? You know, and when we identify those correctly, you know, what I keep hearing underneath all the things you're saying, there's mm-hmm. just so much freedom in that.
Oh yeah,
freedom to identify with this people group or this, you know, ethnicity.
Yeah.
I can identify in surface things, I can identify in deeper things, but I got this freedom in Christ that I can navigate and I can minister and I can see the gospel and the fruit of it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
That's it.
But I think identifying those two, like you said, so critical.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. So we were just here, but this is. You know, again, this is the heart of it, right? So Peter was getting up, wiping the barbecue sauce off of his face from the ribs he was eating and going and sitting over by the Jews when other Jews came in the room. And what happened was that this kind of hypocrisy really started drawing other believers from these Gentiles that God loves just as much as the Jews was drawing that opportunity for fellowship and brotherhood and sisterhood away from them. So a couple of quick stories when we're looking at the importance, relationships, and benefit of moving cross-culturally. Corporate America, and I shared that I have a background in IT and cybersecurity, that kind of stuff. But just some of the corporate stories, personal stories I've experienced. One is this, and this is backed up by all types of research, that when you put people from different backgrounds together, you actually begin from, and this is from a business side of things. So they're not trying to get the gospel out. They're trying to make money. But they've latched on to this truth that operates, you know, from, you know, whatever area and environment that you're in. Different people, different background and experience, they're coming together, and they're actually able then to produce products and services that are more innovative than their competitors. Because you're looking at a problem now from different angles, people with different experience, different culture, different environment, and they're focusing in on this thing, and then they're able to come up with a solution that just blows their competition out of the water. So they found this truth, but this isn't something that a truth that they've created. It was a truth that when you trace it back, even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians starts talking about this mystery of the gospel, that all, again, nations, all ethnos, will be coming under and connecting to Jesus Christ. So this truth was already there, that there was this desire and this heart of God since before the beginning of time for all peoples to come under Jesus Christ and be one body, this one new man. And companies just found it as like, let's make some money off of it. But as they tend to do, right? Has anyone seen the movie Hidden Figures or heard about it?
Heard about it.
I won't spoil it for you, but this is just another example of that fact where you have people from different backgrounds coming together that are able to get a rocket in space faster than they would have if they hadn't come together. So I'll leave it at that, right? And just in case you guys want to check it out. And that shared experience, again, I kind of talked about that with connecting with some of the families that are part of City of Light Church, right? Case for cultural competence. So why is it important, again, for us to learn from other people and do some research? You know, if you hadn't seen the movie Hidden Figures, that's an opportunity for you to do some research on some U.S. history, right? what is it called? Yeah, hair combs and brushes, right? So I was part of a corporation that would take pictures here and there, right? So when it was time for a sales and marketing team to put out some pictures showing diversity, guess who got called on most of the times to take pictures with the other fellas, all right? So it wasn't offensive to me. I understood why, and I'm like, okay, it's whatever. But this was an opportunity also for me to have fun with the HR department too. So during one of the times to take pictures, they figured out of a good heart, I don't think it was anything malicious behind it, they put hair combs in all of the mailboxes for the guys. But as you can see, a hair comb would do nothing for me, right? And even as when my hair was longer then, a hair comb would do nothing for me. But so I use that as an opportunity to kind of mess with the HR department. But this just kind of says in a real world situation that it's important to learn about people that are different than you, because inadvertently you could offend someone and not even know it, right? But we have the opportunity to learn more about other cultures and other backgrounds so that we can have a competence then to be able to relate and eventually minister the gospel to them. All right. And I'll give some resources for that towards the end too. Earlier I mentioned this iceberg model. We'll take a look at this iceberg model here shortly. I know it's really small in your package, so I'll pull it up here. But with the iceberg model, it gives us the opportunity to see the various aspects of culture. And here in a moment, we'll use that, I think it's that last sheet. Yeah, the last sheet that's on the back, it says worksheet number one. And we'll just talk through that for the sake of time. But those are some aspects of culture. This is an opportunity for us, you know, in your own time to go through and jot down things that are important to you as aspects of your culture. And by doing that, you can then be able to recognize cultural components when you see them, be able to appreciate them, and then even pray through, okay, God, you know, how is it that I can be all things to all people, you know, those people that are around me, by understanding this and appreciating this. All right, so here's the iceberg. Top level kind of stuff, like art, music, literature, cooking is a big one. What we would do as City of Light Church, so we've used this as a strategy, again, to bring people together. There's something that we do, an event series that we put on called We Race Ahead, and that showing of that documentary 13th is actually a We Race Ahead event. But we've done things like have nights where people from three or four different ethnicities come together, and you know, in a room full of people. The first one we did at the Crown Plaza in Tulsa. Three or four people come together. They share not just their stories, but their grandparents' stories of journey in the United States. And by doing that and having those intimate moments, the people that are sitting there in the room, and the first one there were just under 100 people that came, they're sharing in these moments together, and then we would have cultural food for people too. So you're sitting at a table, you're eating different foods, you're able to talk about, you know, my grandmom, you know, would make this particular dish like this, or she would add this to it, or those kinds of things, so that you're beginning to build relationship, right? Then during those events, after the food was done, we had already broken up the tables where there are people all, you know, of all different ethnicity at the table. Then they would begin to share their stories. There was a woman at the end of our first one, And I still remember her her statement. She said, "We came in as strangers and we left as friends." So you're seeing people that wouldn't necessarily hug one another or be around one another, giving one another hugs, exchanging numbers, like all of that happened. And it was just at this surface level starting. And then now this year in 2017 is when we're diving into the deeper things. For instance, that 13th documentary and discussion, now that we've created this environment of safety and opportunity to dialogue and learn. So now we're going to be jumping into areas of justice, right? So how do different cultures in the United States view justice, right? And why, right? That's when you get into the whole history. Because right now as a country, we're seeing many issues that are dividing people, right? But they didn't just start in 2017. Right, they have a long history to them, which people's parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have, you know, passed down at dinner tables and experiences that have happened in lives, right? And so these kinds of environments of like the We Race Ahead stuff, it gives us that opportunity to open up the doors of our home, so to say, and give us more of a shared understanding. And then once that trust is developed, you'll be able to better minister and be able to serve one another and help one another.
Is that diagram possibly on a website somewhere?
It is.
Because I wrote down what's underneath the triangle.
Yep.
You have to go there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's kind of a chicken and an egg thing here. Now, when you bring people together, is this a Christian group?
No.
It's not.
It's not.
Wow.
Intentionally.
That's
okay.
Cool. That was really throwing me for a loop there.
Yep. Intentionally. We reach out. As a matter of fact, and this is, I don't know, you know, when you look at gift mix and some of the personal characteristics and just how God has wired me, it's really more evangelistic. Like, I almost prefer to bring together more non-Christians than Christians.
Yeah.
Because, again, the truth of God, just like corporate America figured out with that diversity piece or whatever, the truth of God transcends, you know, being, you know, a Christian or not. But so if you can help those that don't have a relationship with Jesus yet to see the foundational truth that we're connecting to the engine of Jesus Christ, then they're more liable to say, you know what, I'm going to try this thing out. So, yeah. And I've gotten pushback from, you know, here and there from that. But again, I understand, you know, the role and the path that God has me on, you know. So, that sheet that's on the back. Does anybody, how much time do we have here?
4 minutes.
Okay, so we're going to bypass that sheet in your own time. And that sheet came from the Peace Corps. In your own time, I recommend as many as possible areas, kind of going through and just jotting down, like when you think about your own culture, like, what do you value? So, for instance, like, just one quick one, ways of greeting people, right? So, handshake, in your business or whatever, right? At home, it may be a hug. Those are two different cultures, right? For me, depending on who my friends are, they might get some dap, right? Or others may get a handshake, or others may get a what's up, how you doing kind of thing, right? So it all depends on the cultures that you're interfacing with, right? And understanding that is key and is important. Yeah, so that's that. That's a good worksheet. Yeah. The last component of practical steps, right? The how. I created, you know, three steps with three R's so that we can remember them. So the request, if you're looking at, okay, how do I do this? How do I leave this workshop and start today? The first one is request, right? So you want to honestly, you know, talk to someone who you have a relationship with that's different than you, right? And share, like, I don't know or I don't understand X, but I want to be able to better serve and better help. Can you explain X? This happened with me just as recently as yesterday. I know a Hispanic immigration attorney. So I asked for a meeting with her. And during the meeting, I said, you know, look, I know there's a lot of things going on in the country right now, and I just want to better understand. I hear what's going on in the news and all of those kinds of things, but I want to know from your perspective, from your family's perspective, from your client's perspective, like, what's going on? What are they feeling? How can we engage to help and better serve as being a believer? Right? So something as simple as that, that's an example of request. Second is relate. We talked a little bit about this throughout this workshop. Once you have that information, it's important then to see what characteristics or what aspects of their culture are something that you can share in. Right? For us, starting at the top level, it was food, where we were able to share in experiencing dishes together that, you know, their parents cooked and, you know, they love and appreciate and everything, right? Figuring out those areas. It doesn't just have to be cooking, but multiple ways of showing that, look, your culture is important to me. And I want to learn more about you. And that builds trust, which inevitably then allows you to be able to dive deeper into that iceberg. And then last is respond. So now that you have all of this knowledge, what are you going to do with it? Now that you have this relationship built up with someone that's different than you, what are you going to do with it? Are there struggles? Are there challenges that this particular community faces that you can engage in helping, right? Jesus didn't come just so people can get to heaven. He came because he cared for the poor. He cared for the sick. You know, and we see that in the miracles that he did and how he helped and loved on people. And, you know, even James picks it up and says, look, if your neighbor comes and says, look, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty. You don't say, God bless you and send them away. But you know, you give them some food, you give them something to drink. So if your brothers and sisters are hurting, how can you help? And that's that third piece of respond. And in doing these three things, I believe we've shown the biblical model as well. In doing these three things, you'll be able to build relationships that last and that eventually not only enrich you, but enrich the other person and help you all to grow in relationship with Jesus Christ. Cool. That's all I have. That is all I have. I appreciate you all for listening.
Yes, very good.
Thanks. Thank you.